Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
Today we are starting a four-week series of messages on the home. And I've simply entitled the series, Lord, Bless This Home. And today we're going to look at this thought, it takes God. It takes God. If you have a Bible, and I'm going to get to this verse here in just a moment, but Psalm 127, and we'll be looking at the first half of verse 1. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to open it as we study the Word of God together concerning this subject of the home. To some degree, I believe every husband and every wife dreams of having a place that they can call their home. In the mind of the husband, it's his castle. In the mind of the wife, it's her nest. It's a place where they can hang their hat or let their hair down, so to speak. A place where they can raise their children together. A place where they can get away from everything else. A place where when they walk through the front door, they can say, home, sweet home. Yet often today's couples are making the big mistake that we find in Psalm 127 and verse 1. Look at the Bible, please. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I want to read that again. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Will you read that with me? Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The Hebrew word that is translated house refers to the home or to the family. The home, by the way, is the first entity or institution that God established. As a matter of fact, I really believe that all the other entities, all the other institutions that God has established, they rest upon the foundation of the home. Now, by that I mean, if the home falls apart, the nation falls apart. If the home falls apart, the church falls apart. It's very important to realize that the home is the foundational entity or institution that God has ordained. So I believe that it's safe to say here this morning that the home is the most important entity or institution that God has established. And so the next 4 weeks, what I am talking about, the home, the family, is so vitally important. Please don't turn me off because maybe your kids are grown, or maybe you say, well, I don't have kids in the house, but I've got grandkids now. This series of messages, I believe, is needed for everybody here. And that is to realize that we want God to bless our homes, but in order for that to happen, we've got to come to the realization that it's going to take God to make that happen. Now, notice that word labor. Notice the word labor there in Psalm 127, verse 1, because it means that there are a lot of wonderful parents who mean well and are really, really trying hard. I run into those kinds of families and parents nearly every week. They're trying really hard to be the dad that they ought to be, or to be the mom that they ought to be, and they're working hard at it. But then notice that word vain. Because it means emptiness or nothingness. In other words, no matter how hard some parents try, they will come up empty. Why is that? Well, the answer is that very first statement that you find in Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. If you try to build your home without God, you will not succeed. In other words, God must be a part of the equation. He must be a part of the plan. No matter how hard you try to build your home, if you leave God out of the picture, the end result will be devastating. We see this all across America today. Do you realize that 40% of marriages in the United States will end in divorce? Now, you might be here today and say, "Preacher, I've always heard that half of all marriages end in divorce. Are you sure you've got your statistic correct?" And I would say, yes, it is correct, and I'll tell you why. The half, that's the way it used to be, but now more and more couples are just living together instead of getting married. And on a global divorce stat rate scale, the United States ranks number 6 in the world. By the way, all 5 of the other countries that have a higher percentage of divorce than the United States are all located in Europe, which we all know has completely thrown God out of the picture. Europe today can be described as secular, humanistic, atheistic, and amoral. And by the way, America is not too far behind. Is it any surprise that when a nation throws God out of the picture, that the first thing to fall apart will be the home? More and more children are living in broken homes. Often children are being abused by the very ones who ought to be protecting them. Believe it or not, a report of child abuse is made every 10 seconds in the United States of America. Every year, more than 4 million referrals are made to child protective agencies involving more than 7.2 million children. The fractured family unit and all the challenges that are facing our children today is vivid proof that no matter how hard we try, we cannot build our homes without God. And that's why we read here, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." I'm reminded of the words found in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21. You may want to turn there. You're in Psalm 127. Go to Proverbs chapter 19 and look, please, at verse 21. "There are many devices," or the word there is plans. "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Man's plans may seem good, but they are never better than God's plans, right? You know why? Because man is not smarter than God. You say, "Wow, that's rocket science there." But you know, when you watch other people's lives and you look at the way some people live their lives on a daily basis, you would get the idea that they think they know more than God knows. We must not forget that the whole concept of marriage, the whole concept of the home, was God's idea. He designed it, He defined it, and He describes in His Word, the Bible, how the home, how marriage is supposed to work. If you've ever built a house before, then you know there is nothing more important than the foundation that that house sets upon. It may look good from the road. That house may look good from the road. It may have a very attractive paint color. It may have beautiful landscape. It might have a nice big garage, and it might have a modern looking design. It might look very attractive as you look at it from the road. But if the house is not sitting on a firm, solid foundation, you're wasting your time looking at it, because you know that it will not survive the test of time. The foundation of a house is so very, very important. And by the way, the foundation of your home, the foundation of your family is so very, very important. I want you to go to the New Testament, and I want you to go to the very first book of the New Testament, Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Look at Matthew chapter 7, and I'd like to read verses 24 through 27, because Jesus tells us about two houses, And he talks about the different foundations that they have. And I want you to think about your home, think about your family as we read through these verses. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now notice that both houses face the same obstacles. I can't help but notice that verse 25 and verse 27 sound very, very similar, right? Both homes face the same obstacles, the same challenges. What was it? It was intense, heavy rain. It was rising floods, and it was high winds. Both houses face the same identical challenges. It reminds me that even the best of marriages, the best of homes will face ongoing obstacles and challenges. You can do everything right, and yet you will not be able to shield your marriage or shield your family from all the evil influence that exists in this world in which we live. Trials and temptations come to all of us. We need to understand that. But notice that the main difference between these two houses was the what? The foundation, right? Both face the same obstacles. Both face some of the same challenges. But what made the difference? The foundation that they were built upon. One was built upon a rock, and the other was built upon the sand. My guess is, and I'm reading into the story here a little bit, but my guess is that after the storm had come and gone, the house that had been built upon the rock had to have some repairs done to it. Maybe, and I'm using modern day terminology here, but maybe some shingles were blown off. Maybe some windows were blown out. I don't know. It depends on the severity of the storm. But maybe there was some repairs that needed to be done. But let me point out that the house that was built upon the sand was completely wiped out, and it ended up having to be rebuilt. This is a great picture of how our homes must be built on the unchanging, unshakable foundation of God. All throughout the Psalms, the psalmist tells us over and over again that God was his rock. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is God your rock? It's one thing to say God is a rock, but it's another thing to say he is my rock. I'm reminded of verses like Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock. Psalm 18, verse 31 says, for who is God save the Lord? There is no other God. That's the point the psalmist is making. There is no other God. And then he goes on, or who is a rock save our God? Nothing can take place of God in your home. Nothing. Not all the material possessions of this world can take the place of God in your home. Not the best salary that you can make in this town can replace the person of God in your home. None of that will replace what God means to the foundation of your home. If you have everything else that this world has to offer, and you don't have God as the foundation of your home, then you're building your home on nothing more than shifting sand. You are just like this second builder here who had the house and he built it upon the sand. You will not withstand all the trials and the temptations that we go through in this world in which we live. You see, all of us are going to face those obstacles. All of us are going to face those challenges. But only the one whose home is built upon the rock will be able to withstand those trials and temptations. Is God the rock of your home? Parents, if you want God as the rock of your home, then He must be the rock of your life. Now you think about that. If you want God as the rock of your home, as the rock of your family, then you personally have to have God as the rock of your life. If God is not the foundation of our lives, how do we expect that He will ever be the foundation in our children's lives? The stability of your home comes from having God as your foundation. There is a liberal agenda today to remove any reference to God from every area of American life. If you're not aware of it, all you got to do is do the research and watch the news and listen to all that is transpiring in America today. There are those who are trying to remove God from the very history of our country. There are those who are trying to remove God from our Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. There are even those trying to change the words of Lee Greenwood's song. Instead of saying, God bless the USA, they want it to be, we love the USA. There are those who are trying to remove any reference to God in the public arena. There are those trying to remove any reference to God in our schools. No more prayer in schools. No more Ten Commandments in the schools. There are those trying to remove any mention of God from our monetary currency. We have slowly and we have surely gotten rid of God in America, but what America doesn't seem to understand is that what America needs most is God. Amen. We need God. And we especially need God in our homes. Now, when it comes to building a house, there are two very, very important decisions that you need to consider. Number one, you must choose the right blueprints. And number two, you must choose the right builder. Those two things are very, very important when it comes to building a house. The right builder for your home is God. The right blueprints for your home is God's Word. I want you to know that. There is no one better to build your home upon than the foundation of the unshakable, unchanging person of God. Amen. Right? Amen. If you build your house on anything else, it's like building your house upon sand. The blueprints for building your home, your family in the years to come, those blueprints are found in the Bible, God's Word. Amen. So I believe we need to understand right off the bat here in this series of messages that God must be the foundation of our home. We need more moms and dads who are committed to living their lives and building their homes according to the infallible blueprints of God's Word. I want you to understand that God's Word still works. No matter what subject you're talking about, God's Word is still the authority. The world would like for you to think that this book that we hold in our hands today is archaic. It's archaic and it's no longer culturally relevant to life in the 21st century. But may I say that we are in the mess that we are in today in America because we have forsaken the timeless principles, the timeless truths of this book that we hold in our hands. Amen. Think with me just for a moment about what this book says about the home. Number one, the Bible says that the husband is to be the head of the home. Now, we have a culture in which we live that says that's archaic. That's out of touch. And you might be here today and you might say, I don't want to be the head of my home. Besides, I'm okay with my wife running the show. Well, I would say to you, quit being a passive, spineless jellyfish. Be the leader of your home. Because whether you like it or not, God is going to hold you accountable as the leader of your home. One day when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, And the Lord looks at you and says, now let's talk about your family. Let's talk about your home. And you say, that would be a question for her. That's not going to work there. God's going to say, no, I am holding you accountable as the leader of your home. The Bible also says that the husband is to love his wife. In other words, you're not to be some ruthless dictator, and your wife is not supposed to be a doormat. The Bible says that the wife is to be submissive to the leadership of her husband. Now, wives, that doesn't mean that your husband is smarter than you are. Let's be honest, because most of the time, the opposite is true. And let me just say that I believe a husband with any sense at all will listen to the godly counsel of his wife. Amen. I know that our culture really struggles with this biblical concept, so I want to clarify right up front, and I want to give you a very quick illustration about how the man is to be the leader of the home, and the wife is to submit herself to the leadership of her husband. A wife being submissive to her husband has nothing to do with her being inferior in essence or equality. Now, I want to talk about that because that seems to be the big argument in our culture today. I want to repeat that. A wife being submissive to her husband has nothing at all to do with her being inferior in essence or in equality. Rather, it has everything to do with her role. It has everything to do with her function in the home. A great illustration, a great comparison would be the doctrine of the Trinity. All right, let's talk about the triune Godhead. All right, we have what? God the Father, God the Son, and we have God the Holy Spirit. Now, we know from reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that God the Son submitted himself to do the will of God the Father. Did he not? He said, nevertheless, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, nevertheless, thy will be done. Now, that didn't make God the Son inferior to God the Father in his essence or in his equality. Jesus, God the Son, was still 100% God. He never ceased being God whenever he experienced the incarnation there in the little town of Bethlehem. Jesus, God the Son, was still 100% God. And by the way, he was co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But it means that when it came to his role, when it came to his function, he understood that he was to be submissive to the will and the leadership of God the Father. The Bible also says that marriage is to be between a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman, but the Bible says very clearly that marriage is to be between a man and a woman. Homosexuality has never been a part of God's plan for the family, never was and never will be. Amen. The Bible says that sex is to only happen in the context of a marriage. All this stuff is so archaic, isn't it? And yet we see that these are the principles, the truths of God's Word. You see, sex is not to happen before marriage, and it's not to happen outside the context of the marriage relationship. Amen. The Bible says that children ought to be obedient to their parents. In other words, parents are supposed to be the authoritative figures in the home, not the children. So many times we look out there at families and homes today in our culture, and it looks like the children are running the show instead of the parents running the show. Be a parent. Be a parent. Your child doesn't need a friend, needs a parent. I could go on and on, but by now you're probably thinking, preacher, you sound awfully old-fashioned. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Everybody else may be saying, oh, this is the way you do it. This is the way. Here's the plan. Here's the idea. Here's the concept. If being biblical is old-fashioned, then I guess you're going to have to label me as old-fashioned. Because I believe the principles in this book work. We need more parents today who will humble themselves and seek the face of God on behalf of their family. When is the last time you prayed for your marriage? When is the last time you prayed for your children? Stop and think just for a moment what's happening in Perry Township. Stop and think just for a moment what kinds of pressures and temptations that our kids are facing all across America today. And yet the average parent doesn't spend a whole lot of time praying for their sons and for their daughters. We need more parents who will say what Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. It takes a very intentional and conscious decision on our part to make the Lord as the foundation of our home and our family, and to embrace His blueprints and say, "I want to raise my children according to the truth of this book. I want to make sure that I build my home upon the principles that you find in this book." We need parents who will realize that they can't raise godly kids in their own wisdom and in their own strength. We need parents who understand that without God's help, they don't stand a chance against the world, the flesh, and the devil. This message has been all about this. It takes God. Amen. God's got to be a part of the plan. He's got to be a part of the picture. And without God, we will not successfully build our home, because Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it."
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, senior pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.